Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you here with my good pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder. Yes, it's a Wednesday. We had Tuesday night football. I'm wearing the Extra Points hat, by the way. You can get it in the store, extrapoints.com. You guys don't have yours yet, I see. You'll have yours soon, I think.
Not yet, but I think that everybody listening to the podcast agrees that you look fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Everyone listening could see through, but yes. So maybe somehow I'll post this or something. Yeah, it's a neat looking. Dave, you like trucker hats, right?
I like hats just fine, and I'm really interested in wearing one now since on our last episode, the bald-headed fashionista Joel, the producer, attacked my hairstyle. I've really reached a new low. When someone who looks like Joel is attacking my appearance,
that's true.
I don't know what. I need a new hat. Meantime, Wednesday, where are you at? No football game for us? Tisk, tisk. I thought every day of the week now had a pro football game.
Soon enough, I think every day we'll have a pro football game, or Monday or Tuesday will become the dumping grounds for teams whose facilities are locked up. I thought that would be an issue for the Tennessee Titans. Apparently it wasn't. They won 42-16. FanDuel had them installed as a 3-point underdog because why not? Like I said, out of the last 16 days when they tried to produce negative tests, I think the facility was closed 13 out of 16, and yet no one looked like they had practiced more. No one looked more in sync. No one looked more focused than the Tennessee Titans in a 42-16 rout of the undefeated Buffalo Bills. What the hell? Is this it, guys? Is it just this is a year of that nothing at all makes sense? Is that just we write that off like that?
Yeah, it's nothing at all makes sense, but it's also this was a situation designed for Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel loves coming into underdog situations or feeling like it's him against the world in the divisional round last year with the Ravens, you know, and he was doing planks on the sideline before every game and upending the Patriots. I feel like this is obviously a much more bizarre, sad kind of underdog situation. But I thought of this because I was listening to his presser after the game. I'm a sports media loser who watches the press conferences when I don't have to for work. And people were asking him, the first question was, did this feel like a game of want and desire? And Vrabel's like, every game's a game of want and desire. We want to win every game. And then someone said, were you surprised, you know, even yourself at how good you guys played? And he was like, I would never doubt this football team. And I was like, okay, so Vrabel is just the perfect guy to fire a team up to do something like this.
Yeah, he's just pretending there's no hostility, nothing going on around
right.
it. But that's fine. He could pat himself on the back or whatever he wants to do. The fact that it looked like they knew how to tackle, they remembered everything. They haven't played in like 3 weeks, Dave. What the hell are we watching anymore?
I mean, that's exactly right. In the year where everything is upside down and, you know, black is white and positives are somehow a positive for this Titans team. They've nearly derailed the pro football season, and yet somehow they've positioned themselves as no one outside this locker room believes in us. It makes my head spin that they were able to go in there and without the practice derail America's team. 2020, it was a disappointing result for the Buffalo Bills there. Yeah, But, you know, Mike Vrabel invoking the no one outside this locker room believes in us and is a rallying cry and the Titans all buying it at the player level is quite a thing.
Yeah.
Good for them.
I had Clay Travis, who's my co-host on Fox Bet Live Monday through Friday on FS1, 5 p.m. Eastern. He was at the game. He's a big Titans fan. He's a terrible, terrible person. I don't recommend anyone meet him, but he's at the game. He's taunting me. He's taunting Rachel Bonetta and Todd Furman, my other co-host. He's like, oh, I would not know what it's like to root for a team that's lost a game. What's it like, guys? What's it like? And he's sending pictures from the game. I was like, please celebrate by kissing everyone in that stadium. Please do everyone a favor and do that. A nice smooch for 10 or 12,000, however many people. I guess this just goes on and on, Charlotte. I guess should we just get used to the fact that nothing makes sense. There's games on Tuesdays. Teams that haven't practiced in 16 days are going to win and win handily. And the Super Bowl champ is going to somehow be the Jets.
Oh, my God. Well, that part. I don't know about that last part. But yeah, it's one of those things. It feels like it could get spun so easily into like galaxy brain shit where people are like, well, it just goes to show, you know, you got to rest your team. You actually shouldn't like load management in the NFL. You know, like I can see all of the ways that fans are going to come up with when their team does it. It's great. But when another team does it, it's irresponsible and awful. And I think that's just the most 2020 sports fandom possible outcome here.
Yeah, this is if you can't beat them, join them. Let's get on this. Go Titans, go Astros, go all. I mean, this is the way to root going forward.
One thing though, something that bugs me a little bit about the whole villain narrative attached to the Titans now is unless something came out that I missed, I don't know necessarily. What if it wasn't someone being reckless? What if it was someone who, you know, has to put their kid in daycare and then the wrong kid came? I feel like, yes, probably it was most likely someone being careless, but also this thing isn't, we can't see it. It's not like there's a blue cloud when someone breathes out COVID and you try to just not walk through it, although that would be convenient.
There's no gender reveal for COVID responsibility. I think you're right. Actually, you are right. And all we know is that they had an unauthorized practice at a high school, on a high school field. Other than that, you're exactly right. We're just trained to be angry at the fact that the Titans are a constant reminder that we're probably not going to get through this season or it's going to be hell to get through it. And so they were instantly the villain where we don't really have a lot of evidence to support it.
You're right. You're absolutely right about that. As a matter of fact, it's really the grievance, if there is one, is with the NFL. I mean, clearly the way to clean this up was to forfeit a game or to suspend or severely fine these guys. And instead, because the league's incented to have the season play out, now we're getting into all these crazy machinations of how we can play games on Thursday morning at 5:30 a.m. And, you know, That's the mess. You're absolutely right, though. I guess you can't really target the Titans.
A morning game would be fun.
Sorry, what'd you say?
A morning game would be fun. You know, let's wake up at, you know, you wake up at 7:30 and they're halfway through the third quarter. Yeah,
I mean, when Jacksonville or whoever goes to London here on the West Coast, that's what we do. We set the alarm for 6:30.
That's right.
It's a dream. It's a dream. You set the alarm. Under the cloak of night, you wake up to watch pro football
action.
Sounds
a little bit like a nightmare to me. Are we sure?
Well, you have to take precautions. If you have a significant other the night before, you have to have the volume on at nothing so that when you turn the TV on at 6 a.m. the next day, you're just, you know, you don't wake up anyone in the family. So, yeah, you do have to. So there's a little Christmas Eve vibe that, you know, you need to take some steps. It's all a mess. Another mess is Dave's claim for Buffalo Bills to be America's team. I just don't see it anymore. He wants to dethrone the Dallas Cowboys, who've been America's team for about a half a century. He wants to give it to the Buffalo Bills. I don't know. Their defense isn't probably as good as the Cowboys. I'll give you that. Otherwise, why should we move forward with this? Bills is America's team. They lost to the Titans, the anti-America's team.
That's exactly right. And in a micro sense, they were, you know, impacted by injuries to key players on Tuesday Night Football. Okay, but I'm not going to make excuses for that. Here in 2020, what have we learned? It's that no one is perfect. Everybody has a flaw. You win some.
Speak for yourself, Dave.
You lose one. Touche, Ann Char. Listen, I get it. People are cynics here in the 21st century. And at the first sign of trouble, people are jumping off the bandwagon. Damashek, he's doubling down. The people of Buffalo deserve our attention. They deserve our praise. They've gone through some tough times with their pro football team. Yeah, we are aware of what happened back in the early 90s. But these are the people who are innovators. Look behind me, if you will. They took chicken, the scraps of chicken that no one wanted. They put some spicy sauce, they dipped it in blue cheese, and out came a phenomenon that reigns supreme to this day. I say the Buffalo Bills are America's team. They deserve our support. And you want to talk about taking down the Tennessee Titans in week five? Fat. They're trying to do something that no one's been able to do this century. Take down the evil empire named the New England Patriots. This demands our support. The Buffalo Bills are America's team 2020. And as a matter of fact, to help seal that point, take a look at this.
I'm Dave Damashek, and I approve this message.
The Dallas Cowboys have laid claim to the title of America's team for the last 42 years. That's not democracy, and anyone who'd say otherwise is fake news. Cousin Sal claims to be a Cowboys fan, yet he grew up in Long Island, rooting for a team in Texas. How does that even make sense? Has anyone actually ever seen his birth certificate? What is Cousin Sal hiding underneath his 10-gallon hat? And Moose Salini's America. Isn't it time for a new America's team? The Buffalo Bills already had one legendary comeback. Now it's time for another one. What's more red, white, and blue than this? It's time to make things right for a city named for the majestic buffalo that for some reason decided to name its football team after the guy who tried to kill all the buffaloes. It's time to circle the wagons. Buffalo Bills for America's team 2020. Paid for by Dave Damashek and the campaign for the Buffalo Bills, America's team.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
What?
I don't know what the hell happened there. That is despicable. That is low. Dave, you actually said you put money out there in an effort to boost this ridiculous claim that the Bills are America's team?
No, yeah, and no dark money required. These were small donations from good-hearted football Americans who understand what's at stake here as we come down the stretch of 2020. And yeah, I'm proud to throw my full weight, and it's a considerable weight after eating way too many chicken wings.
I am disgusted. I am disgusted in this effort, and the only way I could counter it is to show you the attack ad that I came up with. What do you think of that? Yeah.
I'm Cousin Sal, and I approve this message.
Dave Damashek wants you to believe the Buffalo Bills are America's team. But can Dave Damashek be trusted to decide on anything American? Dave drives a German car. Dave has a European haircut. Dave prefers Polish sausage to good old American hot dogs. And now Dave wants a team on the border of Canada to be America's team? Would America's team have lost four straight Super Bowls? That's not the America I know. The Dallas Cowboys have given us so many great memories. Five Super Bowl wins, 28 Hall of Famers, one great catchphrase. How about them Cowboys? The Cowboys are a Thanksgiving tradition. What's the Bills tradition? Drafting bad quarterbacks who choke on hot wings? There are stars on the flag. There is a star on the field. Dave Damashek hates the Cowboys almost as much as he hates the United States of America. Don't let Dave divide us. Don't let Dave have a voice. Seriously, have you heard it? Why should he have one? Paid for by Cousin Sal and the campaign to keep America's team in Dallas.
You guys, this is art.
What are we going to do, Charlotte? I think you're the deciding factor here. I know you mentioned the Chiefs a little, but they screwed us on our extra points for extra pay parlay. I think we went at it pretty good there. Yeah.
They sure did. Wow. First of all, I am really, and I wondered why I was seeing these running during Tuesday Night Football, but I guess that's what this is all about. I want to make an attack ad, but I don't have anything to attack.
This is America. You're certainly out there. You could make an attack ad if you want, but it all only counts November 3rd when you go to the polls and vote for America's team, right?
Clearly. Oh, my God. Well, so am I supposed to decide? I can't decide.
You could comment. That's fine. I mean, whatever you think.
I mean, I don't love either option. Also, didn't Buffalo Wings not originate in Buffalo?
I don't know. And I'm not here for your fake news either. I you know what? It's transparent what Cousin Sal's up to. He has nothing, so he goes with mean-spirited attack ads. I'm behind. Look, the choice is simple. That's exactly right. Do you want to live life in the rearview mirror as Cousin Sal would have us do?
Yes.
Or do you want to steer towards the bright horizon that Josh Allen and the red, white, and blue Buffalo Bills provide for us all?
Okay.
I think the answer would be that 95% of the population would choose to live life in the rearview mirror at this
point. Yes, if the option is look back and think about how things were, I'm with the Cowboys. Yes.
All right, good. You know what? I wouldn't want to live in a present that puts the spotlight on a guy named Andy to resolve all the ails the Dallas Cowboys now.
Josh. Andy's okay.
Andy's going to be the savior? Let's go.
Josh. All right. Well, I'm glad we got rid of that nonsense.
I'm impressed, honestly. That was good stuff.
Jim has been working on that since the first week of The Ringer, I think. It's been a long time. But no, we're done. We can move on for now. Le'Veon Bell, speaking of Jim Cunningham, our heel producer, big Jet fan. I think he has abandoned them, right, Jim? Officially, I thought I saw on Twitter that you abandoned the Jets.
Yeah, I'm done.
You're done. For real? They cut Le'Veon Bell. They cut him. They looked to trade him. They couldn't get a seventh rounder for him. It seemed like maybe they could get a seventh rounder. I don't know what it was, but the Chiefs were going to pick him up for a seventh rounder, then didn't want to pick up his contract, but now can still potentially pick him up. God forbid Charlotte Wilder's Patriots get Le'Veon Bell. But let me just recap his Jet career. 17 games played, 264 rushes. None of them were longer than 19 yards, 0 100-yard games, 4 total touchdowns, $27 million. And it begs the question, Dave, I don't know, is he a bad egg? Antonio Brown certainly seemed to be a bad egg. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, currently not on teams. Is Mike Tomlin, we talk about Phil Jackson as the guru being able to keep egos in check. My God, Mike Tomlin, it seems like he's the one. How the hell did he keep this all together? Or is he the one you go to become an asshole when you go to another team? Which is it?
he uses you up, he warps your brain, then he sends you out into the world and says, take that. And they go out into the football universe to play spoiler on other pro football teams. Yeah, it's weird. I think it's my hunch about it is that it has more to do with like being in a band that's an indie band up and coming, and then it blows up and has great success, and then the band fractures because of the egos that emerge from success. That would be my guess here. And you know where the mistake was for Le'Veon Bell. He didn't like the way he was being used in Pittsburgh. He thought legitimately, like, I feel used, like Charles Bukowski talking about women. I feel used.
Wow.
Le'Veon Bell thought he was being run into the ground for the glory of the black and gold and not necessarily himself. So he kind of forced his way out of a good situation. Now he's talking about, I want to be on a contender. And at the time, he wanted to get paid a lot of money. As it turns out, the Steelers do pay out their contracts almost fully, whether it's guaranteed money or not. Instead, he chased money up in New York in a bad spot. And now you see the result. And now he really is jammed up. You could see yesterday who was going to take him at that dollar value. I mean, the contract is way too big for a lousy team. That's a luxury item. And what contender? Le'Veon Bell has now complained about overusage in Pittsburgh. You guys are running me into the ground. Now he complains to his current head coach, or I guess as of yesterday, his current head coach, about underusage. What contending team is going to say, you know what our finishing piece is? This bellyacre. Well, I don't know who's going to grab him right now.
Le'Veon Bellyacre is right. I don't know who's going to grab him either, except we all know who's going to grab him. It's going to be Charlotte's Patriots, and we're going to be bummed out because it's going to work out, right?
Well, because what's going to happen is you might think most teams might look at it as, you know, why do we want a guy who's going to either be ungrateful for playing or for not playing? And then you have Bill Belichick, who gets people at their lowest, you know, when they're like mentally, when they've felt somewhat worthless. He's like, you know what? Come on in. You're going to have to play entirely by my rules, but you're going to play and you might even win. And they're like, okay. And it doesn't always last very long. It doesn't always work out. But I do think that he is a master of waiting and figuring out when someone has very little to lose and are willing to do exactly what he wants them to do.
So you think you wouldn't be surprised if he's wearing Pat's blue and gold. What the hell are their colors, Dave? I don't know. I don't know.
Pat's orange and pink. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Well, it didn't. I worried about this, Dave, when Antonio Brown went to the Patriots, but that didn't work out. That was circumstance more than anything. He's a different, it's a whole different story. I get it. I understand. But I just worry about Patriots capitalizing on anyone's castoffs. And that's, I think, what we have here.
I mean,
yeah, the Niners make sense in terms of the way they play football, like, you know, what you would want in a running back. I mean, listen, at his best, to me, Le'Veon Bell is the best, with the possible exception of Zeke Elliott, the best runner that we've seen in the 21st century. And the difference between Le'Veon Bell and a guy like Zeke is his, is how good he is as a pass catcher, too. Mm. So, yeah, in football terms. But also, at this point, what evidence have we seen in the last 3 years now? 3 years have we seen 26 really look like that kind of that difference-making kind of running back? Yeah. Seems like a bunch of headaches. I get it that maybe Belichick will kick the tires, because that's what he does. He kicks the tires on everybody who's available. Mm-hmm. And maybe Le'Veon Bell in the short term will behave himself and be a nice tight-lipped guy and not bellyache for his own benefit. But I also legitimately, this is a terrible thing to say about a pro football player, I don't know how much Le'Veon Bell cares about playing football. That's the concern. He wanted to get paid more than he wanted to be in a good situation. So going forward, with all the talk about, like you say, Charlotte, about Mike Vrabel and, you know, backs to the wall and all that, does Le'Veon Bell really fit that kind of description that will be, you know, a difference maker in an NFL locker room at this point?
Well, you know what it comes down to? You know what that means?
Money, honey.
Yeah.
Squishing a bug?
Yeah, squishing a bug. You take a bug, and that's what it comes down to. For
Rub it between your thumb and your forefinger.
No, but if the Patriots could get him and unload that contract and not have to sign him and everything, obviously the headaches are out there. But if it has minimal effects, if you can cut him, obviously it was a huge headache for the Jets to cut him. They're on the hook for all this money. If another team can do it and not have to worry too much about it breaking the bank, That's a different story. All right, we'll look into that. Anyway, the Jets, we should start looking at their schedule to see if they are even going to win one game. I still have it out there. Jets, Giants, it's going to be the Trevor Lawrence giveaway, the MetLife lifer. Let him be the quarterback for every home game, only at MetLife. Yes, Dave, he will wear the uniform. Charlotte actually said he could wear the Clemson uniform. But
I think that just makes the most sense.
Yeah, at the very least, he doesn't wear a MetLife uniform, right? We'll have to work on that. We'll have to work on that part.
He just wears an NFL hat, like Rob Lowe.
Yeah, right.
But to connect it back to the Le'Veon Bell thing, you know, if the Giants weren't such garbage, that would be a great little New York City based rivalry for them to replace their former number 26 or the guy still like, hey, Saquon, just for the rest of this season, I'm going to borrow 26 and run it to glory in that crummy division. Now, I hadn't considered this until just now. In that division, is it that ridiculous to suggest that if you put Le'Veon Bell on the Giants, that maybe they would win that division?
Everyone's one player away in that division, or zero players.
I like this idea. This is the move for New York City based intrigue. That would be awesome if this happened.
All right.
Let's do that, Giants.
New York has its problems in football. Florida. I think they have problems. They don't think they have problems. The Florida Gators had 5 positive tests. This on the heels of Coach Dan Mullen saying, we want to pack it. We want to pack the swamp. We want to put 90,000 fans in there. Well, you can't even keep the players healthy, but you're going to have 90,000 fans. And it seems like the president, that president too, but the president of the university is okay with this. 90,000 fans. Are we there yet?
Well, everybody knows that you can't get COVID in Florida. Like within state lines, you can't get it.
That's true. Yeah.
But
I can see that.
I'm like, sure, it's outside, but what happens when you go into the bathroom or when you breathe on someone else's neck? I mean, those benches, you're packed in there.
Yeah, it's hard to spread out 90,000 in a stadium. You're really right on top of one another. I've been to 75.
Also,
and
past few years had trouble getting 90,000 people in there. So I don't know. Maybe we should slow down and aim for let's see if we can get 77.
77. All right, Dave, can we agree on 77? What the hell is going on in Florida?
I mean, I think we could all agree that I'm not cool. But I also don't like being put in the position to be to play school marm and to be a buzzkill. What the hell are you talking about? You're going to put 90,000 people in the stadium. It's insane. Up is down. Black is white. I don't get it. What are we doing?
This is 2020.
It's called the swamp. I mean, their head coach may or may not have laid naked with a giant fish. What in the hell are we doing?
I'll tell you what we're doing. We're going to leave this whole thing in FanDuel's lap. They didn't put me in charge of the sports book for a day, but you would think they did with these same game parlays. I love this. Dave, Charlotte, you know we like picking players. Le'Veon Bell, we could put him in a parlay. All he needs to do is find a team. There are so many different combinations you can play with these same game parlays. Player props, point totals, money lines. I'm getting giddy just thinking about it. And the best part is FanDuel will refund the first same game parlay you lose on any NFL game each week up to $10. That means you get to bet a different parlay risk-free every NFL week, all season long, free money. Are you kidding me? Let's take, for instance, Sunday. Dave, the Eagles are playing the Ravens. I know you guys are going to cover this on -3. Big game. You could take Lamar Jackson. Now, we don't have the numbers out just yet because it's early in the week. Lamar Jackson over 53.5 rushing yards, let's say. You could take Miles Sanders under 78 rushing yards. You could take Tucker over 2.5 field goals. You can combine them all together. You make a little like a, what is it? Like a quiche. What's left over? Like, is it a quiche at the end of the day?
That's right.
Is that what it is?
Frittata. Right. I mean,
A frittata. Make your quiche, make your frittata. If you like my picks, go ahead, bet them. You get $10 back. If you don't win, we can do this all season long. FanDuel Sportsbook. Get the app. You play same game parlays. And that is risk-free. FanDuel Sportsbook app. Don't forget to use extra points promo code when you sign up. FanDuelSportsbook.com. FanDuel Sportsbook app and use extra points when you sign up. There you go, FanDuel. And we will come back Friday with our extra points for extra pay parlay. We lost last week, took a week off. We're going to rejuvenate. We figured out, what did we win? 2 out of 5 weeks? Still won a lot of money for the players out there. And we're going to bounce back. NBA.
Do we have a prop on Myles Garrett? Swinging the helmet around?
It's a big thing.
Attacking innocence?
I know it's Wednesday. It's not talked about enough or as much as I thought it would be. This is a big rivalry, and it's in Pittsburgh. I guess the last game was in Cleveland, right, when that happened?
Yeah, I mean, there's much debate in that part of football America right now if this counts as a rivalry, and we can have that discussion at a later date. But when one team always beats the other, it doesn't really count as a rivalry.
Okay.
I think there's a difference between hatred between teams and rivalry between teams. And I don't think we make that distinction quite enough in sports, to be honest.
That's true.
Oh, there's hate now. There's hate, and it's deserved from the Steelers side at the Browns after that ridiculous scene that went down in Cleveland about a year ago when Myles Garrett attacked a backup quarterback with a helmet.
Like, well, for instance, Joel hates Dave's hair, but there's no rivalry. There's just the hatred between, right? Joel, would you agree with that?
Thank you.
I mean, I don't hate that. Hate is a strong word.
It is. You don't hate. All right. So there's no rivalry and no hate. Hey, lots of good submissions for Dave's idea that the Clippers. Now, we reported Monday that the Lakers were the NBA champions, and that still holds firm. They are still the champions this year. The Clippers are little brother now. Kicked to the curb once again. Dave says they start from scratch. We need a new team name. That'll get things going. That'll get the juices flowing. We had a few offerings. Giovanni Napoli says, just move the team out of LA County and name them whatever they want. Okay, that's interesting. Tom Riggert says, how about the Hollywood Stars? You guys said the Hollywood Stars, right?
Well,
the Hollywood
Stars is good.
Sorry, yes. Tom. We already had it.
Sorry. And the Hollywood Beaches. George McColgan says the Malibu Mudslides.
the beaches.
I know. We can get
the Hollywood
really,
Beach Whales.
The California Wildfire. I don't love all that. Ooh. All right. The Cali Cruisers. I guess that supports the Navy and like riding bikes down the boulevard. And LA Rush Hour. That's interesting. Who is this? Perry Wajid says the LA riot. Nah, well, I get it. But, and the LA dispensers. I think we said that. Charlotte, have you thought of any? I have a couple here. Have you thought of anything? Go ahead.
The Seattle Comets.
That would be very strange. I don't know how jersey sales will do.
I'm
here
telling
in LA.
You, they got to move to Seattle.
It should be the Seattle Sonics. You could if do. They ever move to Seattle, if any NBA team ever goes there, they must be in the Sonics, period.
Yeah. But, well, that's a joke. It's like, you know.
Yeah, it's a joke, Dave. All right, but they're staying in LA. But you, so you have some LA options too.
Yeah, well, I thought the LA convertibles would be kind of funny.
It's not terrible.
And when they when they play well, you'd be like, wow, they really took the top down for that game.
I like it.
But look at the absurdity of the Angels. They're not even in LA County and they call themselves the Los Angeles Angels. The LA thing is what's gotta go. The nickname we apply behind that is secondary to being born anew and washing off LA as we're the second pro basketball team here. Hollywood, I'll even sign off on following the spirit behind Golden State. That's cool.
Okay.
Just as the Angels used to be the California Angels. Right. I'll even sign off on the SoCal whatevers.
The Calabasas Cabanas.
Oh, that's pretty good.
The Malibu Rums.
See, now we're thinking. I think what we're learning here is there are no wrong answers. Except for
everything Charlotte
maybe
says.
LA Riot. No. how about these? I have some, and they all have LA in front of them. LA Unified. It's a little inside, Dave. It Dave knows it meant it's really specific to the school district that your kids attend, but also LA Unified. We've come together and this is our team. Right. Okay.
Relatable. Not some fancy pants as off at there private school. No, this is a team for the common man.
We laughed at Charlotte's LA convertible. You say LA convertibles or Hollywood convertibles? LA convertibles.
LA convertible.
I think anything car related, you know, I have LA car chases.
The LA hot shots.
Yeah. The car chases. Indiana Pacers are just as a, but by the way, the Indiana Pacers, it's a throwing a bone to another sport altogether, right? This is pace cars and Indy 500. Like, hey, we want to bring NASCAR into this. Like, that makes no sense. All right. Guess what gets more viewership than the Indy 500? Any car chase, or at least put them all together and you got that. But how about this? This is my favorite one. The LA Crystals. After Billy Crystal, their number one fan. The LA Crystals.
Ah, beautiful.
I think it's good. If you name a team the Browns after an owner, why couldn't you name it after a fan who, you know, Billy will leave us in 10, 15 years, hopefully longer than that. But and then it's even more special, the LA Crystals.
Well, if it's a Crystals, you can forecast his death date. You know, you can do all this voodoo
stuff. I like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, the maybe the Quakes would work. I think it's very weird, though, as a rule.
You don't like natural phenomena.
the hurricanes is such a weird thing. Hey, what are we known for? Devastating natural disaster. Like, let's name our football team after that. Is weird. Same thing with the Oklahoma City Thunder is weird. But if we're gonna go in that direction, we could go Quakes. I love the Crystals or Crystal Balls. Then they would be shortened to the Balls, and then it would be on the level of the New Jersey Nets, who like that is one of the least creative names out there. Like, we want it to be basketball-y. Like, what should it be? Like the hardwoods? No,
that's what I mean. The bar is so low. Right. I don't like the Balls. In case LeVar gets a hold of them, Alonzo, there's that thing. You gotta think ahead. You gotta avoid this stuff. But you're right, Dave.
I think it's fun that you guys have made your jokes. And you've had your fun, and that's terrific. But this is a serious-minded campaign to help out Los Angeles's other pro basketball team. The Lakers rule supreme. You're never going to catch up to them. I hate to be defeatist Clippers fans, but facts are facts. You're way behind here. Just burn it all down and rise up, born anew. A whole new brand is what you need. I'm here for you, Steve Ballmer. Haven't gotten back to me on social media yet. I await word from your emissary.
All right. So, no jokes. We want all serious offerings only. And that's at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. Now, Charlotte, every show tries to clear this up. I still don't know that people are getting it. I don't get it myself, but you claim there are back-to-back E's in that email address.
Well, yeah. So, okay, here's the problem. Like, you hear the extra points gang and you're like, okay, I'm pretty sure I know how to spell it. But then you forget sometimes that there's a double letter, and that double letter is actually, people forget this. It's between the and extra points. So it's the T-H-E extra E-X.
It's too complicated. The extra points gang at gmail.com. If you reach us, you do. If you don't, you don't. And look at this. Joel sent me a little text message here. He said, Dave needs a whole new brand for his hair. I thought we were okay with that. Now we,
this is getting personal. We're not doing, you know, you can do attack
getting
ads.
Personal.
This is, you can this do is attack ads on the issues, but not.
His hair doesn't match his face. It's like a 10-year-old boy in a 40-year-old man's head.
That's so mean, Joel.
That is mean, Joel.
Where? That was weird. Wait, 10-year-olds have beards?
A 10-year-old haircut on a 40-year-old man. I don't know. I got it.
You know what? I'm trading Joel to Cleveland, at least for this week. Supposed to be from Pittsburgh, and he's attacking me.
Right. Careful.
You know what?
Careful. Joel's going
to
end up
Ohio,
on
Ohio, you creep.
He's going to end up on.
You don't even have Primantes as your background.
All right, guys. Come on. Let's get it together. What were you going to say, Charlotte? Sorry.
He's going to end up on the Patriots if you do this, Dave.
Yeah, God forbid.
Good.
It's the last thing we want here. All right, let's go to Major League Baseball real quick. Oh, my God, these could be a short series. The Dodgers are down. The Rays are up 3-0 on the Astros. I know MLB wanted Astros-Dodgers. It's not looking like that at all, everybody. Dodgers 184 favorite today, Urias against Wright. The Rays minus 144 to close out the Astros. Glasnow now on full rest. But for God's sake, Charlotte, we're in trouble. You and I specifically is what's going on here. If Fox gets Rays Braves, which even you can't even say, like the rhyming is weird enough. Rays Braves, they're going to start cutting jobs. And you're going to lose your digital job. I'm going to lose mine on Fox Bet Live. It's not going to be good. So I don't know what we could do about it. The series seemed to be in hand at this point.
We're going to have to start a Patreon. And, you know, I'll start, like, selling embroidery on Etsy.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, but did we really think that in 2020 we could have something as fun as Astros-Dodgers?
No.
You know what is funny, though, is that I tweeted last night when the Astros had that, top of the sixth, they had that total come apart. Yeah. And I tweeted like, wow, the Astros are having a total come apart. And a bunch of people in my mentions were like, or the Rays are just really good. And I was like, are you kidding me? It's like, do you know how baseball works? It's that sometimes people mess up so much that they give the other, like, yes, the Rays are good. The Rays have been good. The Rays will probably make it. But I am really bummed because I think Astros Dodgers would have been, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's still a prayer, but that would have been like the most satisfying sports movie narrative type thing of all time that we've seen in years.
Absolutely. And Dave, there's different kinds of terrible fandom, like being a Cleveland Browns fan and Detroit Lions. That's awful. Your team never makes it. And then there's like being a Dodger fan where they just miss out all the time. I'm not saying that's worse than being a Browns or a Lions fan, but there is something to it. It's just it's a special kind of FU that you're sending your fans there.
Yes. First of all, Charlotte, you should know better that you can't. I wonder if there is a single statement that one could issue on Twitter that someone wouldn't push back on.
Is there any
statement so clean that everybody would be like, well, yes, of course, that's true.
That happened to me. When I went viral with Paul Rudd, I did not get a single. That thing went out of control viral. Not a single person said anything negative. People love Paul Rudd so much.
You know what? I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it now and write something negative just to prove
you're wrong. Thank you, Sal. Yeah. Just to prove the point.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the way the Dodgers are tracking here yet again. Clayton Kershaw shut down with back spasms, the greatest pitcher of at least the last decade, and some way might make a case the best pitcher since Sandy Koufax, if not even better. Either way, yeah, I guess in 25 years or so, me or one of my children is going to have to start a campaign to make them America's team because they're suffering like Buffalo Bills did in the early 90s. It's a tough, that's a fun philosophical conversation as long as you're on the right side. Well, I guess I'm a Pirates fan for the last 20 years. And so I know a little bit about that pain of being out of things by, you know, June 1st or whatever. I think you're better off with that vibe of like, we never stood a chance versus getting to the playoffs year after year after year. And this is going to be a heartbreaking defeat again. I think that's worse. I think just know that you're lovable losers or unlovable losers and just never in it to begin with. What else is new? We stink. We stink every year is much, that's a more mild pain than the angst. I think it
takes fewer years off your life, right? If you're out of it by June 1st, then where
well, it's like it,
rooting painstaking, you know.
It's like if someone's leading you on and you're like, oh, so you're saying there's a chance. And then they're just always like, maybe not. It's like I would much rather have someone just be like, oh, yeah, we're never going to date. And I'd be like, OK, sweet. You know, I'll enjoy looking at you. But
is this something you want to talk about, Charlotte? Is there something?
No. Bigger? I'm saying that's a situation people can relate to. I'm being relatable. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm with you. All right. So for the sake of mine and for the sake of Charlotte's Fox jobs, please, Dodgers, Astros, make this a series at least. We need six or seven games. You see, they're going to have like 5 days off. I don't think the World Series starts until Tuesday. Yeah, we definitely need to feed families. Look at me. I'm famished.
And that, I mean, it is perfect. I mean, first of all, we're going to see the swamp with 90,000 and then that shitbag stadium that the Rays play in. Like, I mean, it's just what a grotesquery. Everywhere you look, it feels like.
Right.
that's what we're going to have to look at now. The Rays in the World Series and that. I mean, it's even... Just to my eyeball on TV, it looks dreadful to be in there. I can't imagine that the Fall Classic, that's what it's going to be resigned to, but it seems fitting.
Well, Joel just texted me, how dare Dave talk about other grotesqueries when he... No, he didn't. Yeah, I'm starting shit. That's not true. All right. Well, Dave, we got a lot going on. We got baseball and no NFL game. You're right. We have no NFL game today or Thursday. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Titans. No Thursday night football. But coming up this weekend, we're going to have our parlay on Friday. What else do you have to plug?
Well, I'm excited for Browns and Steelers, a relevant game between two longtime foes in the same division. And we're going to celebrate that on -3 with my old pal, Mark Sessler, one of the great voices in pro football from around the NFL. Podcast, a swell fella and a diehard Browns fan somehow has survived the ups, but I guess like we described, mostly downs and painful ones at that. And we're going to go head to head talking about Baker versus Big Ben and so on and so forth on -3. Check it out.
There you go. And he's at Damashek. If you want to find him on Twitter, at the Wilder Things, Young Charlotte.
Well, what you got going on? Almost knocked my computer over.
That's all right.
Young Charlotte, what do I got going on? We're going to have a new episode of the People Sports Podcast out tomorrow. Should be a fun one. I've got a cool interview that I did with Malcolm Jenkins that'll be coming out pretty sure Friday or Saturday. A few other things I'm writing. The NFL recap is up. I roasted the Jets again. So just, you know, Twitter, Instagram, you know where to find me.
How do you roast the Jets these days?
I almost feel bad. It's like kicking a puppy.
I know there's so many different ways to attack it. I have Laugh Lines with Rachel Bonetta. Tomorrow we have, -3. Listen to Dave and Jeff and Eddie Spaghetti. That's later in the week. We have the Lemon Pepper Parlay guys, TJ Houshmandzadeh and Rob Parker. And then you have Jen Piacenti and Jerry Ferreira at Waiver Wire. They're going to get you set for all your fantasy needs this weekend. And we come back Friday, Extra Points. We're going to have our Extra Points for Extra Pay Parlay. Going to pay out big. This week, we promise. And as a reminder, even though you may feel like underdogs, please remember, you're all my favorites. See you Friday.